Chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9. Here is what we're going to see the next three chapters. What we're going to notice is Israel, because of their unbelief in Jesus as their Messiah, and that's their sin, is not believing in Jesus, their transgression, they're going to be cut off for a time. Israel is going to be hardened because of their unbelief, but in the future, God will restore them. Okay? So to get some context, we're going to be scooting around between chapters 9, 10, and 11 to get an understanding of that process. So Israel, because of their unbelief in Jesus, their transgression is they're not believing in Christ. We're going to see that's going to cut them off for a while as a nation. Now, obviously, people can be saved because the first believers in Christ were Jews, right? But as a nation, they're not accepting him. There's going to be a partial hardening on the nation of Israel, but they will be restored later. Now, when will that later be? After the fullness of Gentiles is complete. Okay, so when our timeline right now, fullness of Gentiles, is done, okay, the tribulation period, the seven tribulation period, God's going to go back to the nation of Israel and start restoring them. Alright? Alright, so Romans 9, 1. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. This is Paul talking. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brothers, my kinsmen, my race. And these are going to be, if we keep on looking, verse 4, who are Israelites. So his brothers, his kinsmen, his race, nation of Israel, right? So Paul is burdened. What the natural reaction, if you're reading Romans up till now, is we see that there's kind of this little struggle that the Jews are having. One of them was in Romans chapter 3, well then, if we have circumcision, if God gave us circumcision for the Jews to mark us as a nation, does that not profit us anything now? And the answer is, no, it doesn't profit you anything. You know, just because you're circumcised as a national Israelite doesn't mean anything. Paul goes on to explain, we need circumcision of heart through the Holy Spirit. That's what Christ is looking for, okay, being born again. Because they were looking to the law in Romans 2 and 3. They're looking for that as righteousness. And we're going to see later on when we start hopping around, they were looking to the law for righteousness without having faith in the God who gave them the law. Kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? It's insane. A lot of people we see now in churches in America and other Western churches is they get focused on the legalistic system of, well, what does a believer look like? And if you are a believer, then you'll do this, you'll do this, you'll do this, you'll do this. Well, when you read the epistles from the New Testament church, they're not doing hardly anything well. Okay? They're blowing their testimony. They're not doing good. Paul's heart is burdened for his nation. Because the natural reaction is, okay, well, in Romans 6, 7, and 8, if we have faith in Christ, if we're now one in Christ, what does that mean for the nation of Israel now? Like, is God just going to bench him and like cast him out? Like, what was the purpose then? And so Paul is going to develop that coming forward. So we see Paul's heart, and just like in the book of Acts, when we see him traveling around, he's always going to a synagogue first, right, where the Jews are, to give him the gospel first. And I think he says two or three times after he preaches in a synagogue and they deny Christ, he says, I'm done with you Jews, I'm going to the Gentiles. Well, and the next thing we see is he goes back to the synagogue and preaches there. His heart's burdened for his people, and one of the main reasons why is because Christ is the fulfillment of the law. That's Galatians. All right, moving on.
So we see here in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the servants, the service of God, and the promises, to whom belong the patriarchs, and from whom, according to the flesh, is Christ, who is over all, God forever blessed, amen. So he's saying, listen guys, we have it. We had it. Everything was given to us. Everything was provided for us. You know, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us under Christ. Like, we had everything. Like, God had blessed us. He had given us all his promises. He gave us the law, the prophets, the patriarchs. That was all given to us as a nation. So, of course, the natural reaction is going to be, of course not. He's not just going to do all that work and, like, throw the nation of Israel to the side. But something's unfolding. There's a change happening. All right? There's a change happening. Look at verse 6. It is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Jesus said the same thing. In the Old Testament, when Christ was alive, he said, listen, you say you're of your father Abraham, but Abraham knew me. If you knew Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham. No, he knew me. But you don't know me because you are of your father, the devil. Now, these are people that are born in the lineage. They're Israelites that Christ is rejecting, right? But he's saying, you're not from Abraham. Why? Because of your unbelief. It's not enough to have the bloodline. You have to have the belief that was promised to that bloodline. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Okay. They are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Verse 7, nor are they all children because they are descendants of Abraham, but in Isaac shall your descendants be called. So those who are the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as descendants. Now Paul is going to use Isaac and Ishmael here. He does a great job of explaining this in Galatians 4. Let's go ahead and go there. Galatians chapter 4. So he's going to show, just because you are born from this person doesn't mean you're automatically given something. Galatians chapter 4. Look down at verse number 21. Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave woman and the other by a free woman. Now he's going to do a compare and contrast. The slave woman is going to be the law. All right? Here we go. But he who was of the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but he is of the free woman through the promise, which that we know the promises of faith. Romans 4. 24. These things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The two covenants are going to be the law's one covenant, okay, and Christ and the New Testament covenant is the next. The one is from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and represents the present Jerusalem and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother, for it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear, break forth and shout, you who have no labor pains, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we brothers like Isaac are the children of what? Promise. Now I'm going to slow down real quick. What you're going to notice is that the nation of Israel back in Romans, when Paul's explaining this, those who are believing in Jesus are of the promise. Okay? Those who accepted Christ as their Messiah are of the promise. They're of the free one, which is above. Right? Those that have denied Christ, they're going to be the ones that are still hanging on to Hagar, on the law. Am I making sense? Okay. Keep on down here in Galatians. Verse 29, but as it was then, he who was born after the flesh persecuted him who was born after the Spirit. So it is now also. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. We'll do one more verse, 5:1. For the freedom Christ freed us, stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, here in Galatians, these Jews are wanting to go back to Judaism. They're being persuaded to go back to Judaism after they've been born again. And so Paul here is using the same thing he's going to use here in Romans 9. There's two different promises, two different covenants, represent two different things. Okay? One's of slavery under the law, one's of the free. Okay? If you're born again, you're the free woman. Back to Romans 9. Okay, remember, Hagar, slavery, law, works, Sarah is grace and faith. All right, so that's the first two people he uses. Okay? Verse 10, and not only that, but Rebekah also conceived by one man, our father Isaac. For before the children had been born, having done neither good or evil nor good, so that the purpose of God, according to the election, might stand, not of works, but through him who calls. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, here we have Jacob and Esau, right? Now, when they were in the womb, one was chosen to be a servant of God and the other wasn't. Okay? Am I making sense? All right. So one's going to serve the other. Let's think of verse 13. Now, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, in Genesis chapter 25, this is where this comes from. The very first part, verse 12. Well, there's two nations in the womb. Let's go back to Genesis 25. There's two nations. Genesis 25. Jacob and Esau represent two nations. Let's see, where shall we start? Let's look at the prophecy being fulfilled here. Look down at verse 22. But the children struggled together, 25:22, within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Now, when the time of her delivery came, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. After that, his brother came out, and his hand took of Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when he bore them. So we have Jacob and Esau being born, representing two nations, right? Are we tracking so far? Now, what happened was Esau... And we see in the Old Testament Bible the Edomites, those are from Esau's descendants, the Edomites. God had given them an inheritance. God said they were good to go. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were not to destroy Edom. They were told, don't destroy them because they're your family, they're your brothers. Okay, it's in Deuteronomy, I think it's in Deuteronomy 25 or 27. Let's go ahead and go there, Deuteronomy. Let's look. I can't remember where it's at. In Deuteronomy, though, I'll look it up later and give it to you. As they're coming out, he said, don't destroy Edom. They're your family, and you can actually, after three generations, let them come in and be a part of you. So when you're in the promised land for three generations, they can come in and be a part of your group. Let them in. Okay? Now we have a weird verse, if you're just to take it at face value, in Romans 9:13, that says, and Jacob I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now, that is quoted 1,500 years later.
That's Malachi chapter 1. Let's go ahead and go there. Malachi chapter 1. So there's two different verses. Verse 12 is Genesis 25. Verse 13 is Malachi 1. 1,500 years have gone by. And this is written right after Edom has come unto Israel and made war with them and fought against them. Let's look here at Malachi 1:1. Malachi 1:1, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. God has loved Israel. But you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet I love Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have made his mountains a desolation and left his inheritance for the jackals of the desert. Whereas Edom says, we are impoverished, but we will rebuild the ruins. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will tear down. They will be called the wicked territory, and the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. Your eyes will see this, and you will say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. So for 1,500 years, they had an inheritance, they were doing well, and then started to change and started to attack Israel. And then God wasn't pleased with that. That was not good, right? So things were going well until they turned on their brother. And God said, ooh, I don't like that. That is a no-go. Okay, I'm going to destroy you guys. You guys can build yourself back up, but I'll destroy it. All right? Now, so we know that hate isn't like a... Okay, let's do a comparison. Remember in the Gospels where Jesus said, hey, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to hate your what? Yeah, what else? Hate who else? Yeah, hate everybody, right? Hate your whole family. If you don't hate your whole family, you can't be my disciple. Now, is God saying to hate them, like in that sense? No, not at all. So God enjoyed Edom for a time. He had blessed them and gave them an inheritance, but they abused it, right? And just like the children of Israel, God had blessed them and gave them inheritance and gave them stuff and got them the promised land. Now he's going to harden them because of their unbelief. Does that make sense? You guys doing good so far? All right. Back to Romans chapter 9. All right, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He says to Moses, I will have mercy in whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion in whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed through all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whom he wills. So again, the nation of Israel is going to say, hey, you know, is that very fair to us, that God would do this to us? Hey, God can do that. And we're going to see later on why he does it and how he does it. Okay, in these next few verses here that we're going to start skipping around to and start looking at to get some context. Okay? So now, before the law, we have Pharaoh there in Egypt, not letting the children of Israel go, right? You guys remember that? Okay? Now, there was a time when he did want to, right? He repented and said, I'm sorry, God forgive me. Your God is right. You know, I want to make things right with your God. Moses goes out and stops the plagues. The only reason why Moses stopped the plagues is because Pharaoh said, I give in. Interesting, isn't it? So Pharaoh says, I give in, you're right, let it stop. Moses makes it stop. Then Moses comes back and he goes, you know what, on second thought, no, you guys are staying. After a few more plagues, he says, okay, you guys can go out and serve your God, but keep your little ones here. Keep your animals here. So now he's trying to negotiate, okay? It also says in there with Pharaoh that he hardened his own heart. So God is just giving him over to his own heart of hardening so that God's power can be revealed. Just like the nation of Israel, right? Jesus Christ came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jews to say, hey, I am your Messiah, I am your Savior. What did they do? They denied him. So God gave them over to their hardened heart, right? We doing good so far? All right, I feel like it's getting heavy on you guys. All right, let's start skipping around. Let's wake up a little bit. Let's take our Bibles and let's just bebop over to here in chapter 9. Let's go over to verse 30. Chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, did not attain the law of righteousness. Why not? Because they did not seek it by faith. So the nation of Israel, who were given the promise, okay, given everything, denied it because of their unbelief. But by the works of the law, for they stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, look, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be ashamed. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Again, the nation of Israel is the focus here, okay? Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness for everyone who believes. You see that? The nation of Israel is being judged right now. Okay? They're the ones that are on the hot seat. Let's skip over to verse 20. Chapter 10, verse 20. Chapter 10, verse 20. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So this nation is giving chance after chance, and they're not one to accept it. Okay? They're denying it. Verse chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, has God rejected his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a type of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleaded God against Israel? So the response is going to be to this argument is, well then, has God cast off his people? Has he rejected Israel? No. Look at me. I am an Israelite. You guys doing good? I am one of them. Okay? I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm one of them. The gospel's to us. Okay? Everything's been given to us. All right, look at verse 7, 11, 7. What then? Israel has not obtained what it was seeking, but the elect obtained it, and the rest were hardened. The nation of Israel is hardened for not accepting it. As it is written, God has given them a spirit of slumber. Who? Nation of Israel. That would not see in ears, that they would not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table become as a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they may not see, and always bend down their backs. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But through their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. So you see this? So it was given to them. They didn't have belief. They had unbelief. And because of that, we see a hardening. Their transgression is, now they're going to harden, God's going to harden their heart. Now we see they're going to get cut off as the next step. The branch is going to get cut off, and a new branch is getting grafted in, which is the Gentiles. We'll see that coming up. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Look at verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them and became partakers with them, and the root of the richness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. So Gentiles, don't boast against the Israelites, the branches. If you boast, remember, you do not sustain the root, but the root sustains you. The nation of Israel, the Jews, are the root. They're sustaining you, because salvation came to the nation of Israel. So don't boast. Verse 20, this is correct. They were broken off. Why? Why are they broken off, guys? They're unbelief, right? They're unbelief. They're broken off because of unbelief. But you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. All right, a few more and we'll be done. Look down at verse 25. For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, lest you be wise in your own estimation. For a partial hardening has come upon who? Israel. Until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. And so all Israel will be saved. That's tribulation. That's 7 years of tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble. That's future. Right now, not so. Okay? God's going to go back to the nation of Israel when? When our time is fulfilled. When our time is done. We're in the time right now. Presently. Okay? Verse 30. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but have now received mercy through their disobedience. So the Gentiles have received mercy because Israel has denied their Messiah. Right? So we see the nation of Israel. Okay, there's two nations, Jacob and Esau. Jacob of the promise, the Israelites. But just because you're born through Jacob's bloodline doesn't mean you're a part of the family. To be a part of the family, you must believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now the nation, because of their unbelief, because of their transgression, okay, there is a hardening coming upon them, the nation of Israel. Until when? The fullness of Gentiles is complete. Our time is done. Then God will go back to the nation of Israel and save them. Okay? We see that in Revelation, don't we? In Daniel, we see that. We see that in Zechariah. We see that in Ezekiel and different passages. So back to Romans 9. So now understanding, you guys are doing a good job. I know this is like college level stuff, but you guys are doing great. When we're reading Romans 9, it's important to understand that the nation of Israel at this time are saying, well, we have Abraham as our father. We have, you know, Jacob as our father. And God's saying, no, that's not it. You were looking to the law for righteousness, and you overlooked me. Like in Revelation to the church at Ephesus, you left your first love. You left your first love. So because of your unbelief in Jesus, I sent him to you, and you denied him. Because of your disobedience and not wanting to believe him, even though I've given you the gospel time and time again, you know, for about 8 to 10 years, only the Jews were getting the gospel. Only the Jews were being taught about Jesus. God was very patient with that nation, wasn't he? Very patient, and they kept denying as a nation, as a whole. He said, fine, I'm going to cut you off now. I'm going to harden you, a partial hardening, because of your unbelief. Right? Because you keep choosing to go against it, fine, have it your way. Just like now, when we're born again and we want to continue in sin, God says, fine, I'm going to give you over so that Satan can have his perfect work. You'll still be saved, but that's what you want, fine, go for it. You won't experience any of my blessings. You won't experience any peace from me. If that's what you want, although it hurts me as my child, I'll let you have what you want. And when you want to come back, I'll do it with open arms. Thank God, right? It's with the nation of Israel. Partial hardening is happening to you because of your unbelief in Jesus and your sin. You've been cut off. Gentiles are being grafted in. Okay? Until his time is complete, but don't worry, we'll go back to the nation of Israel. We'll go back. So we got to read it in that context of what's happening with two different nations here. Two different people groups. And Paul, and we'll go over as we keep on going verse by verse, but he's really trying to help them understand you guys are two in one. That's the mystery. There's seven mysteries in the church, the church age. One of them is Jew and Gentile are now one in Christ. For thousands of years it was, don't be like the Gentiles. You're not like them. You're better. You're a Jew. You're a nation of Israel. Right? It was always separated, separated, separated. Now there's a new teaching that you're now one because of Jesus. Can you imagine how hard it might be to grasp? When I was born and raised, that they're the bad guys. And now we're not only to be friends, but we're to love each other. We all share salvation. Now we are partakers of the same blessing. Man, I don't know if I like that.
Do you think you're living in a day of prejudice and racism? Are you kidding me? This is nothing compared to what was back then. And by the way, you're not. Don't listen to the loud minority. Anyways. That's the context. Paul's heart's broken for his people. He wishes he could be accursed from Christ, be taken away so that all Israel could be saved, because through that nation came adoption, came the covenants, came glory, came the law, the service to God, the promises, the patriarchs, and even God himself in the flesh. It all came from the nation of Israel. They had everything. But just because you're of that blood family doesn't mean you're a partaker of those blessings now. You must receive Christ as your Savior. That's what he's getting at. And because of Christ as your Savior to the church here at Rome, you got to start thinking, you got to start changing your thought process, because you and the Gentiles are now one in Christ. You are now one body. You are now unified. You are now to help each other moving forward. So you can see it's kind of hard for these Jews at this time to kind of grasp what's being taught, right? If they take Romans 9 in the same breath as Romans 3, same book, same letter, same everything, we chop them up and read them differently. But once it's read to the church at Rome, it was from start to finish, right? So they're going to know these things. It's all fresh. They're thinking Romans 3 at the same time they're reading Romans 9. It's on their mind. Man, if this is true, then what about the nation of Israel? Like, now, what about us now? Don't worry. There's a hardening happening to God's nation. He'll come back to them. That's going to be okay. Right now, we're moving forward with the Gentiles. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these truths that you've shown us. Lord, I know this was more academic and history and background, but if there's one principle that can come out of this, it's just to see Paul's heart for his people. His love for them, that he's willing to be accursed from Christ, Lord, to see his people saved. Lord, allow us to have that same principle to people that we know. Just have a burdened heart for our nation right here. Not just America, but Sutherland, Oakland, our county. Allow us to see people through your eyes. Allow our hearts to break and to, for us to understand that they might not know the greatness of Jesus Christ like we do. And that would prompt us and move us to witness to them, to share your love with them and the plan of salvation with them. And Lord, other believers in Christ that may be struggling or disheartened or discouraged, that our hearts would break for a true believer in Christ, one of our family members, that we might take time and encourage and lift them up through your truth. Lord, and as we continue to study out Romans 9, 10, and 11, that we continue to show us your truth, that it may change us to be more like Jesus Christ. Bless our afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll have Dave and